started. So usually I'll wait a week or two after perm to do this pre-Pesach seminar, because just information continues to come in often from the kashrus organizations, and often I just feel like I need a little bit of a transition, a little bit of a break after perm before we sort of jump into Pesach preparations. But two people approached me and asked me if sooner rather than later we can maybe at least begin to have a discussion about preparing for Pesach this year. And I think there's two primary reasons why I'm already at this juncture, just a few days after Purim, it's important to begin to think about Pesach. So number one, of course, is COVID, and that on many levels, hopefully things are better than last year, but on some levels, there's still some challenges. And to think about, maybe what we did last year, does it apply to this year? Are things going to be same? Are things going to be a little different? So that's number one. And number two is that this year is unique. I think the last time it happened is in 2008, although I might be mistaken, but that this year, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. And there's always a whole host of things just to be aware of, and things a little different when that occurs. So just to be able to better prepare. So it's a good idea already now to begin the discussion, to begin the conversation. So let me begin just first with COVID. The good news is that we learned a lot from last year. Last year, I think a lot of us, it was like there was a lot of stress we were under. Many of us, like up until maybe a week or two before Pesach, we weren't even sure what we were doing. If we were planning going to a hotel, were the hotels still going to be open? They're going to be closed. Did I go to my family? Were family going to come in? People never made Pesach before in their life. They didn't have any pots, pans, dishes, recipes. It was extremely, extremely stressful. Cleaning ladies, help couldn't come in. People cleaning, your carpet, and there was it was it's it's almost it's a little post-traumatic stress disorder to sort of even think about, even try to remember what happened last year. So the good news this year is that, again, even with maybe some still challenges that still exist because of COVID, I think we're a little bit more prepared. We have a little bit more confidence, at least in what we're doing. At least I think for most of us, we know either we're going to be here, or we're going to be, at someone's house. We're sort of set in terms of what we're doing. So I just want to go through just a couple of things that may or may not be the same this year. So first of all, last year, one of the major concerns was everyone who bought new dishes was taking them to the mikveh. And, we were really bepachad, in fear to be near anyone, outside our immediate family. And, that may be the case for still some of us. But the good news is if you do have new dishes or planning to buy new dishes, we're still over 3 weeks away from Pesach. And there's ample time to go to the mikveh. You can, it's usually there's a mad rush a few days before Pesach. But if you know already in advance that you're going to need some new pots this year, some new cutlery, whatever the case may be, buy it now and go to the mikveh. The good news about here in Detroit, when you go to the Kalem Mikveh in Oak Park, there's a lock on the door. So if you don't want to be in there with anyone else, just wait till no one's there, go in and lock the door, and you'll be in there by yourself. And I think there will be an availability like there was last year. When people did not go to the mikveh, we arranged many of the national organizations, the OU, the CRC, they arranged for to sell our vessels, our kalim, to a non-Jew, so we didn't have to tovel them. But that's not ideal. And I think this year, again, there's enough advanced planning that we can figure out a way in a very safe way to still take it to the mikveh. If you're not comfortable, you can call me, call someone you know who can take it for you. So I think that's number one. I think we can arrange to be able to safely use the mikveh this year. In terms of cleaning the house and having extra help, we have cleaning help. So again, everyone's going to be different in terms of their comfort level and bringing someone into the house to help them out. If someone is not comfortable with, still not comfortable with having cleaning lady, someone come into the house. So I think then there is room to minimize what we do in terms of cleaning. Strictly speaking, little tiny crumbs on the floor, under the table, under the bed, you really don't have to get rid of them before Pesach. The custom is to do it, and we generally we try to do it. But the fact that we sell our chametz, the fact that we nullify our chametz, the fact that we don't bend down and eat crumbs off the floor. So again, if it's too much for you to be able, you know, to move the dining room table, to move the bed, to get on your hands and knees, so don't do it. Don't do it. Again, you're not going to violate anything because you sell your chametz and you nullify ownership of chametz, and you're not going to be eating crumbs off your floor. But if you are okay getting on your hands and knees and you are okay bringing a clean lady into your house, then you should clean it. That's what the custom is, that we do get rid of even crumbs. So again, you just got to, everyone's got to do what works best for them. No one should risk their health. That's for certain. No one should take risks in terms of their health and well-being. So, you know, everyone should figure out for themselves, you know, what they're able to do, willing to do, and not able to do. Mechiras chametz, so selling chametz. So usually when I arrange, when people come to me to sell chametz, you know, I meet with them, I find out what's going on, I talk to you about your Pesach plans, and we have a nice conversation, and then at the end, you know, you fill out the form, and then I give you a pen or something to pick up, make a formal acquisition. So again, I've been, thank God, as a teacher, I've had both vaccines. It's unbelievable, but it's the power of the unions in Michigan. You know, as an educator, it's easier for me to get a vaccine than someone who's 95 years old, which is a whole separate issue. I had to fill out a form. I made a phone call. I got a call the next day, and 2 days later, I had my first appointment. So I'm fully vaccinated. I had my second vaccine three weeks ago, I believe already. But some people still may not be comfortable, you know, meeting in person, even at a distance. And if that's the case, so again, one can forego, like we did last year, with formally, you know, meeting with me. I have a box in my front porch. You just drop the form there, and that certainly works. It's better to make a formal acquisition, but it's not required. So again, those who are comfortable should do it. And if you're not comfortable, the first person I met 2 days ago didn't want to do it. So I said, fine, great. You know, stand at a distance, just drop the thing in the box, and all is good. Food. So last year, also, remember food, everyone was nervous about food, going shopping in stores. And we had a lot of people had limited, you know, all the recipes, you know, the Bubby's recipe they made for 30 years. Like, you weren't necessarily able to do it last year. And I said, like, that's okay. Like, you can make Pesach on matzah. You know, you have matzah and you have water. You can make Pesach. You don't have the sponge cake, you know, still be Pesach. So again, this year, it all depends on someone, on your comfort level in terms of shopping, supplies, and it can be managed and figured out. Koshering. So I still haven't decided. We always have in the shul, we have a koshering, usually the Sunday before Pesach, a public koshering. So I still have to speak to the physicians to see whether or not we're going to do it. But last year we didn't do it, and I think it was okay because, and this I'll now tell the first, you know, real halacha, that I think most people, the things that they kosher for Pesach, it's very easy to do it in your own house. You know, so you kosher cutlery, kosher a kiddush cup. So the way you kosher cutlery and a kiddush cup, things like that, metal things, you just have to make sure that everything is completely clean, hasn't been used in 24 hours. And you take a pot. The pot has to be clean, hasn't used in 24 hours. It can be a milchik pot, a parv pot, a fleishik pot, a chametz pot, a non-chametz pot. As long as it's clean, hasn't been used in 24 hours, you boil water in it. And when it's bubbling, you just drop in the forks, the spoons, the knives, the kiddush cups, and you can kosher it easily in your own house. Custom then is just to run it over with some cold water after it's been it only has to be in the water for a few seconds, and you know, you spill out the water and just run it over cold water, and you can easily kosher at home. So again, whether we're going to do it in shul this year, again, I haven't decided yet or not. I'll let you know probably within the next week or so. But you can easily do it at home. And in terms of koshering pots, sometimes, you know, people want to kosher pots, so we generally do not kosher. We don't kosher glass. But metal pots, we do kosher. And if you have a very large pot, you can just stick like the forks and knives. You just stick the smaller pot into the larger pot when it's bubbling. And if it's a large pot itself, So the way you kosher a large pot, it makes a little bit of a mess, but it's easy to do. You fill up that pot with water. You bring it to a boil. At the same time, you take a smaller pot, and you also at the same time cause that pot to go to a boil. And with a large pot that you want to kosher, when both are bubbling, you take the small pot, you pour it into the large pot. It will cause the large pot to overflow. Water will then overflow down the sides. And that will then have hot water on the inside, hot water on the outside. Again, it'll make a little mess on the stovetop, but that will kosher your large pot. So again, for most things, you will be able to kosher at home. And the last thing that I'll say just about, in terms of second Esther, just in terms of that may be different or not different this year, is that some people have the custom not to sell what we call chametz gamor. Like they won't sell real chametz. If you have like bread in the freezer, cookies, pasta, liquor, some people have the custom not to sell it. They get rid of it. And last year, a lot of people did sell those items because if you remember last year, like we were concerned what's going to be with the food supply, the food chain, is there going to be like no food after Pesach in the supermarkets? And there's a real pachad, a fear that many people we had at the time. And so this year, again, I don't think that that's a concern. And therefore, those who do have the custom normally to sell their cookies and their, or not to sell their cookies and their bread, so they probably should get rid of it this year if that's your general custom. So that's when it comes to COVID issues. Again, I think it's much more manageable this year. And I think one of the things we're going to learn, hopefully as things do get better, God willing, things should get better this year, is that a lot of the things that we did, whether it was Pesach, whether it was Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or any other time of certain leniencies that we used, those were necessary next year, but they're not normative. And we should try to, as much as we can, go back to, as we say, regularly scheduled programming. When it comes to Pesach, and no one should put themselves or health at risk. But I think a lot of things are going to be much more manageable COVID-wise this year. Esther, you had a quick question?
I do. And that has to do with food and shopping. It seems like there isn't much out yet as far as Pesach groceries. And I wonder if there was something new that was being done because of, not to put that out until after Purim, but in a way, because of the shopping constraints and people don't want to be there when there's a big crowd, it makes it more difficult if you're confined to a smaller time frame.
Yes, that's a good question. That's interesting. I'll look into that. I think what we will arrange in the community is that, this is what we did last year. We'll arrange people, if so, people are uncomfortable, certainly, going to one stock can be very, very crowded. Right. We'll arrange for those who are comfortable, to give a shopping list. And I'll work on that already starting tomorrow. That's a very important, service that we can provide. Yeah. Anyone who's uncomfortable that we'll have volunteers to, people let us know what they want and we'll take care of that. Thank you for raising that. Okay, so that's COVID-related matters.
Right.
Okay, now regarding Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach this year falls out on Shabbos. And again, there's a bunch of things that are going to be a little different. Some things a little easier and some things a little bit more difficult and a little bit more challenging. So let me just go through the list. So number one, normally Erev Pesach is a fast day for the firstborn. So we don't fast on Shabbos, right? Only if Kippur coincides with Shabbos. We don't fast on Shabbos. So there's a whole discussion, is there even a fast day to begin with? So the custom is that, yes, the firstborn still fast. We don't do it on Friday because we generally try to avoid fasting on Shabbos. This year actually had a lot of interesting anomalies this year. One of the things is that there actually was a fast day that fell out on Shabbos. The Sar B'Teves, the 10th of Teves, fell out on Friday. When it falls out on Friday, we do fast, but if we can avoid fasting on Friday, we don't want people going into Shabbos fasting and not feeling great. So it's actually the fast day gets pushed back to Thursday. The Thursday before Pesach is the fast day. And again, we'll arrange, as we always do, to have probably a couple of siyumim to people who need to fast so that they can attend to see him. We'll probably offer it on Zoom as well for those people feeling still uncomfortable going to shul and being in public. So those firstborn won't have to fast, will participate in the siyum. That's regarding the fast. What about checking for chametz? So usually we check for chametz right the night before Erev Pesach, the night of Erev Pesach. So this year it's Shabbos, so you don't do it on Shabbos. You can't walk around with a candle and things like that. So we're going to do it Thursday night. Thursday night will be a bedikas chametz. It's a regular bedikas chametz. It's done after nightfall. Nightfall, I think I checked, is 8:33. We'll send out all the information. As we get closer, 8:33 Thursday night, you can begin the bedikas chametz with a bracha and the kol chamira after you conclude burning the chametz. So we burn the chametz. This is where it gets a little interesting. We still burn the chametz the next day. So Friday morning, sometime in that morning, we burn the chametz. Even though, as we'll see, I'll discuss in a moment, you can still eat chametz, throughout Friday and even into Shabbos morning. But nonetheless, we'll still, the 10 pieces and whatever else you want to burn, we still are going to burn a Friday morning. I believe once again, the city of Southfield, as it's done the last couple of years, will be with the fire department behind the library or the ice hockey rink. Will be providing the opportunity for people to come for the chametz to be burnt there. The one difference, though, is that normally after we burn the chametz, we say this a paragraph, the Kol Chamira paragraph. So we're not going to do it on Friday because, again, you can still eat chametz the rest of Friday and even Shabbos morning prior to about 11:10. 11:10 Shabbos morning is the last time you can eat chametz. So after 11:10, after you no longer can eat chametz, then you'll say that you'll find the Haggadah, that Kol Chamira, we'll say that paragraph. This selling the chametz. So again, people are going to arrange with me to sell chametz over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to make the sale on Friday this year. The sale is going to take place on Friday, but it's actually not going to go into effect until after 11:10 on Shabbos. There's a whole halachic discussion how that works. We don't need to discuss it right now, but that's just you to understand how the mechira, how the sale is going to work. I'm going to meet with a non-Jew who's going to buy the chametz on Friday, but it's only going to go into effect after 11:10 on Shabbos morning. Okay, what do we do about Shabbos? So this is always the big question, right? What do you do about, because the issue is the following. The issue is, it's right before Pesach, and on Shabbos supposed to have nice meals, right? You're supposed to have a nice suda. It's even though it's Erev Pesach, you should have a beautiful suda. Kavod Shabbos in honor of a Shabbos. That's one issue. And issue number one, what do you do about Lechem Mishnah? Right? What do you do about, that's the big, always the biggest question. What do you do about the Lechem Mishnah? About the challah, because there's a couple of issues. Number one, as I mentioned, the last time you can eat chametz is 11:10. So if you normally have lunch on Shabbos at 12 o'clock, so you can't have challah then, it's after the time you can eat your challah. If you say, oh, I'll just have matzah, but you can't have matzah because there's different customs. People have different customs when they stop eating matzah before Pesach. Lubavitch starts eating already Purim time. Most Ashkenazim stop eating Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But everyone stops eating. It's actually a halacha in the Mishnah, the Gemara, that you're not allowed to eat matzah. The matzah that you're going to eat Seder night, you can't eat that matzah on Erev Pesach. So if I can't eat bread after 11:10 and I can't eat matzah the entire day, so what do I do? So here are the recommendations. The easiest thing to do is that all your Shabbos food should be Pesach food. Mm-hmm. So the easiest, make sure all your food is just your chicken and kugel. It's all Pesach food. That's number not number one. Number two, I'm not usually a big fan of in general of using plastic. I always think in honor of Shabbos, honor of Yom Tov, you should have nice our regular dishes. But for this meal. probably much easier to use plastic for this meal. But then the question is, okay, what do you do then about the challah, the lechem mishnah? So there are a couple of options. So option number one is to use challah both Friday night and Shabbos day, but you just have to stop eating challah by 11:10. So as long as you don't have to finish your meal by 11:10, you can start, you can make kiddush at 11 o'clock, make a motzi, eat your challah, and then you're done at 11:10, and then go on to the fish, go on to the chicken, go on to the chum, whatever. You're non-chametz challahs, after 11:10. But the problem with bread, of course, that everyone's nervous to have bread in your house, right? That's we just spent the whole month cleaning our home. So what are we doing? Eating the bread. And I can't burn it. So a couple things. So number one, if you're going to have bread, challah, have tiny rolls, little small rolls. And again, eat over the plastic. And ideally have small rolls that you eat them up. Right, so there shouldn't be any leftover. If there are leftover crumbs, what you could do, and what is recommended, is thanks to modern plumbing, you take those couple of crumbs and you just flush it down the toilet. After 11:10, you just flush it down the toilet, and you can easily take care of the crumbs. Some people, what they'll do, and I spoke about this in Shul Tzayim Shi Mincha Ma'ariv, this is probably a good idea, is maybe don't eat in your dining room. Hopefully, maybe again, Pesach is early this year. The advantage of Pesach being "quote unquote" early in end of March, that the Seder is going to start like a half hour earlier than it sometimes does, which is good news. Not so good news. It could be a snowstorm. So, but hopefully it'll be beautiful. So maybe maybe we'll be lucky. I'll be in the 60s, maybe in the 70s. Who knows? And then you can eat in your porch or eat in your backyard. And if you think that's crazy. So think of sukkahs, and sukkahs is 50 degrees out. You eat outside, and we managed. There's a reason why God invented coats and sweaters. So that's probably the easiest thing to do. Is if you're really nervous about the bread, just eat outside, eat on the porch, eat in the backyard. The other advantage of not eating in the dining room is that, and this is another challenge with this year, is that normally Erev Pesach, we work really hard preparing for the Seder so that we can start the Seder as soon as at nightfall. Right? We don't want to delay the Seder. Right? We want everyone to be awake. And then as soon as nightfall, again, nightfall, I believe, is around 8:35, 8:36, we can start Kiddush right away. Right? So we want people to be awake. It's interesting. Usually we think we want the kids to be awake. I was talking to my Rebbe today, Refreshal Shachter, about an issue I'm about to get to. And he said, be awake. He says, the kids are excited to be, the kids are not the problem. The kids stay up to 2 a.m. and they're what? The problem is the adults, right? We're fetching, we're looking at our watches. It's so late. So generally, we want to be, have the table set, the maror, shredded and the charoses, everything to be, ready to go as soon as nightfall hits. The problem is you're never allowed to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos, right? If you're having guests over for a meal Saturday night, get together, you can't set the table Shabbos afternoon. You can't prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Never allowed to do that. And even for going to Pesach, you can't do that. So the problem would be if, this we always experience every year between the first Seder and the second Seder. You can't prepare from the first day of Pesach to the second day of Pesach. So the problem is if I don't do any preparations on Shabbos. I can do everything as soon as Shabbos ends, and it's going to really delay the Seder. So an advantage of eating outside is I can then set the Seder table, the dining room table, Friday. Set the Seder, the table's ready. You got the dishes there, the cups are there, the matzah plate, the Seder plate, everything is there. You just got to pull out of the refrigerator, pull out the charoses. And also in terms of the charoses, the shank bone, the maror, do all that on Friday. Do all those preparations on Friday. So again, you're ready to go as soon as Shabbos concludes. When Shabbos concludes at 8:35, you say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. You formally say that Shabbos is over. You light your Yontif candles, then immediately get the make the final preparations and then try to start the Seder as early as possible. And Shul, we're probably going to daven Maariv right at sunset at Shkia, so that we'll time it. But those who are on Shul, that they'll, by the time they walk home, they'll get home right when Shabbos concludes, so that everyone can help out and, you know, get the Seder going as quickly as possible. The only thing for some people are like Maariv freaks, like they need like their Maariv as like sharp as possible. So like, God forbid, they should like prepare their Maariv like a day in advance. Like, they'll destroy their Seder if they're not passing out with their Maariv. So for those people, okay, if you need to prepare your Maariv when Shabbos ends, so just try to do it quickly. But other than that, you can do a lot of the preparations beforehand. So now coming back now again to the bread, to the Lecha Mishnah. So again, so one option is you're gonna have bread Friday night. You have small rolls outside. Maybe eat in your basement. Maybe eat in your I don't know if you have another room, you know, where you can set a table. That's an option. Or you can do your dining room. Just be very careful. Eat over plastic. Just, you know, any crumbs you're gonna flush down the toilet. The one challenge, and it's a halachic challenge, is what do you do about shalosh shudas? Because shalosh shudas is normally, ideally, you're supposed to eat shalosh shudas in the afternoon, after like the after mincha. The earliest time to daven mincha on Shabbos is going to be at 2:10 here in Detroit, 2:10. So you're really not supposed to eat shalosh shudas till after that time. And so the problem, and also ideally you're supposed to have bread at shalosh shudas. In an ideal world, you're supposed to have bread at matzah and regular Shabbos. So here the problem is, 2:10, I can't eat challah and I can't eat matzah. Right. So what do you do? So some people say, okay, so this year you just, what are you going to do? There certainly are opinions that your yotzei shalosh shudas with just eating gefilte fish, fruits, vegetables. So this year you have no choice. You know, this particular Shabbos, you'll just eat fruits and vegetables and piece of kugel, whatever, you know, whatever it is, you eat that for shalosh shudas. That's one option. Some say, and we did this back, and many people do, there's the Mishnah Brewer's recommendation. We did this in our shul, I think it was 2008, the last time this happened, is that what you do is you daven Shabbos morning a little earlier than normal. We'll daven, instead of 9 o'clock, we'll daven 8 o'clock. So we'll be done by 9:30. And then people, in 2008, we actually had the meals in shul to make life easier. We had like over 200 people came to shul. It was, all that was catered and no one had to worry about them in their house. But because of COVID, we're not doing that this year. So you have to do this at home. But you'll be home by 10 o'clock, let's say, the latest. You'll you can wash. You know, you make kiddush. You wash. Make a mozi on your small challah rolls. Maybe you have a piece of gefilte fish. And then bench. You'll bench by 10:20. And then take a half-hour break. Learn with your family. Go through the Haggadah. Take a walk around the block. Take a half-hour break. And then at 10:50, let's say, then wash again. You also make kiddush. You already made kiddush. Make wash again. And now this will be your shalosh shudas. So you have your two challah rolls, shalosh shudas. And then, that's how you get in shalosh shudas. A third option, and this might be the easiest option of everything. And this actually is, this is debatable, different opinions about whether you can do this or not. Here's the good news. My own Rebbe, and this is why I spoke to him this morning, I just want to confirm with him, Frischel Schechter advocates that this is probably the best idea, is forget the challah. Don't have any challah on Shabbos. Not Friday night, not Shabbos day. No challah. Everything Pesedek. All the food. Why? What are you going to do for Lecha Mishnah? The answer is, egg matzah. Use egg matzah. Egg matzah Friday night, egg matzah Shabbos lunch, and then at, I don't know, 4 o'clock Shabbos afternoon, have shalosh shudas with egg matzah. Now, the reason why I say it's controversial is that there isn't the whole discussion, we're not going to go through all the details right now, about the status of egg matzah on, I'm not sure as far as I can do this, but Ashkenazim for sure can do this. There's a whole question about egg matzah on Erev Pesach. We know we don't eat egg matzah for the Seder, right? Because egg matzah, you have to eat lechem oni, bread of affliction, which is just flour and water. And egg matzah, and thank you, Ariel Shaffer, for your help today with Manischewitz. Egg matzah has traditionally was made with apple cider. And today, actually Manischewitz primarily uses grape juice. It tastes good, but it can't be used for the Seder. And again, in the matzah, you can't eat on Erev Pesach. You can't eat a matzah on Erev Pesach, matzah you can use for the Seder, but you can't use matzah at the Seder. So that's good. So that's okay. So there's no problem eating egg matzah in the morning. There is a question, you're allowed to eat egg matzah. Is egg matzah treated as chametz or not? So the Ramah, or Moshe Isselus, who Ashkenazim follow, is of the opinion that we're concerned about egg matzah being chametz, because in the old days, we were concerned that maybe they added some water into it. And even though there was fruit juices, maybe the water would make it the chametz. Nowadays, the way it's made, it doesn't become chametz. But there still are many who say, or Moshe Feinstein said this, that you shouldn't eat egg matzah after the time that you can no longer eat chametz. So after 11, 10 in the morning, you shouldn't eat egg matzah anymore. You still can eat it beforehand, but you shouldn't eat it afterwards. Rav Shechter, the Aruch HaShulchan, possibly the Ramah, they are of the opinion that you can eat egg matzah the entire Erev Pesach. Even people who are makban on Gebrach, so Shechter thinks that they can eat the egg matzah. So I might be doing that personally. The only reason I'm not so sure is because hopefully, and COVID, concerns, hopefully my in-laws, God willing, hoping to come spend Pesach with us. And I think they've both been vaccinated. We haven't seen them in over a year. So we're looking forward to having them. So I gotta check and make sure my father-in-law is comfortable with it. He also is makban on Gebrach, so it's a different world for me. I didn't grow up that way. So if he's comfortable with it, I'll probably go with it. And if he's not comfortable with it, I want to make him comfortable, keep it off, my father-in-law. So I'll probably then just do the challah, and we'll just make sure that we do it in a, and either outside, or if we do it inside, just very small challah rolls, and any leftover crumbs just flush it down the toilet. Those are the options in terms of the meal. So it's really very manageable and doable. Again, don't have any chametz food other than the rolls, and you can easily take care of it. I think that is it for what's unique about this year. I'm just looking at my notes quickly. Yeah, I think that's anyone have any questions on that procedure? Okay.
Yeah. I have a question. When you, let's say, don't use a challah, can I use already my Pesach dishes? Or how does it work?
So if you don't use any, good question. If you don't use any chametz whatsoever, you can use your Pesach dishes, and that's great. If you are going to have the challah, that's why it's not a bad idea to... That's why it's not a bad idea to have to use plastic, because then you're gonna have less to worry about. I see someone asked me about, can you make hamotzi and kiddush outside but then eat inside? That's an interesting question.
I want to ask the same thing right now.
Right. No. So let's say it's a little cold out. So I think you can do that.
How would be the garage? Is it possible to do it in a garage?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Again, I mean, in your garage, you do own your, the garage is your property. So again, you can't have, ideally you don't want to have crumbs in there either because you own it. What you could do, again, if it's cold out, you can make kiddush, hamotzi, and then you can bench. Like there's a whole question, there's a rule, ain kiddush el b'makom suda, that also where you say kiddush is where you have to eat your meal. And also, generally you have to be in the same building or the same room, where you say kiddush in terms of where you eat. But to easily solve the problem, I would just say, again, especially if it's cold out, say kiddush, they come otzi, and then bench, end the meal, and then go inside and just, if you then have want to eat your chicken and your kugel and your salads, and just make a new brachas inside. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You can have a meal inside, and then for the for the benching, I go back outside again?
No. Again, what I would recommend is that you make kiddush outside, make a motzi outside, and then just bench, just end the meal. There's nothing wrong with having 30 meals on Shabbos. You minimum, you have to have 3 meals. You want to have 30 meals? You're welcome to have 30 meals. So, which some people, remember we used to have kiddush? Like some people actually did have 30 meals on Shabbos. But in any event, you are, that would be another good option to, just bench after you make that motzi, then go inside and eat the rest of your meal. Someone asked me about egg matzah in general on Pesach. So in general, we do not eat egg matzah, and we should not eat egg matzah on Pesach. And there's a whole question about, does it become chametz or not? That's the whole question. So the Ramah says the only people who are allowed to eat egg matzah are those people who are physically unable to eat regular matzah. The infirm, the ill. Such a person is, would be allowed to eat egg matzah. Otherwise, on Pesach, we do not eat the egg matzah. But in Erev Pesach, Evan agrees you can eat the egg matzah before 11:10, before you can, the time when you still eat chametz. The question just says, are you allowed to eat it after that 11:10? That's where there's differences of opinion. Veshechel says you can eat it, throughout Erev Pesach. But when Pesach begins, then you should not eat egg matzah.
Rabbi, are egg matzah crumbs chametz?
So that's the question. The answer is really no. Bottom line, the way egg matzah is made today is that they really are. And then again, that will just alleviate a lot of concern. If you have a couple of crumbs of egg matzah, it's not the same hiding concern as the crumbs of chametz. So,
okay.
And you don't have to use separate dishes. You do not have to use separate dishes if you use egg matzah. Doesn't make it doesn't compromise your dishes at all. You can even eat kidneys Erev Pesach. All of Erev Pesach, you can even eat kidneys on Erev Pesach. So
after 11:10.
Yeah. After 11:10, you can kidneys is fine up until Pesach begins.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's I always used to find it funny about the kidneys thing. For some reason, some Jews go on this crusade, this anti-kidneys crusade. I had never understood why people are can't 8 days without kidneys to me is not the biggest deal. There's so much other food nowadays to eat. Some people, it's the worst thing that we are prohibited kidneys. I never understood why it's the worst thing in the world. But whatever, some people have a hang up about that they want to change the world jury over kidneys. The Ashkenazi kidneys prohibition on Pesach. Any event, moving on. I'm going to mute everyone because I just want to get through a few more things. And then maybe anyone has questions, just chat it or let me just get to my just 1 second. Okay, here we go. Again, if you have more questions, please chat it to me. This year, I already spoke to Southfield City Councilman Ari Mandelbaum, and there will be two dumpsters, not one, but two dumpsters this year at that park, right? Last year, Last Year Woods Park, right next to our shul. This year, garbage pickup is in Southfield, our side of Southfield is Tuesday morning. So Pesach doesn't begin till, you're still going to have several more days. So there will be two dumpsters, I think, starting some point on Wednesday to not to dispose of old couches and things like that, but just, chametz in those two dumpsters. Also, what do you do with, let's say you do eat bread, challah on Shabbos, and now let's say, how do you clear off the table? So the best thing to do is to, besides having plastic dishes, is also have a plastic tablecloth. Just wrap it all up when the meal is done, put it in a garbage bag, and ideally, I know it's Shabbos and garbage pickup is not until Tuesday, and the city is not crazy about it, but I'll speak to the councilman to make sure no one gets any code violations. The best thing would just be to take the garbage bag and just put it to the bring it to the curb, just leave it there until Tuesday. That's probably the best thing to do with that. But again, if you're careful, you won't even have to do that. Because if you're careful, you're just eating a couple of your small little challah roll, and you're just going to have a couple of crumbs. You can easily clean it up and just flush down the toilet. And then the dishes, you can just, you don't have to eat, you know, they're not chametz tik. You just throw it out there with the regular garbage. You know, put it wherever you place your garbage in general. Someone asked me a very important question. How are you supposed to be yotzei the mitzvah of going to Dunkin' Donuts Erev Pesach? That's a great question. I don't know. I got to speak to Reshecht about that one. but you can have your donuts if you buy them before Erev Pesach and you eat them for breakfast, Shabbos morning before 11:10. Okay. That's what's, I think, unique and different about this year. I'm going to go about another 15 minutes. I might have to do another session, but I'll just do a couple of, I think, things that are also just pertinent and things to start considering and getting ready. So first of all, I always remind everyone just about matzah. So again, it's very important to remember that at the Seder, we specifically use shmura matzah. There's matzah that's kosher for Pesach, totally kosher, but we don't use for the Seder. That's only matzah that shmura matzah is matzah that's that was watched, guarded from the time that the wheat was cut. Regular kosher Pesach matzah is matzah that's guarded from the time that the flour and water is mixed. You can eat that matzah all Pesach long, but at the Seder specifically has to be shmura matzah. They make shmura matzah both a machine as well as a handmade, the round handmade, it doesn't matter. Either are fine, but does have to be a shmura matzah. Shmura matzah, you'll know it's shmura matzah when you see the price tag. It's shmura matzah, whether it's machine, whether it's handmade, it's more expensive. And there are different qualities of matzah. You know, sometimes there's some cheaper matzahs out there, but they don't necessarily taste as good. So, you know, it depends on what you like. But the Seder should be nice. And there's the Seder should be beautiful. The Seder is the one meal, this is actually in Halacha, that's supposed to be the table is supposed to be set exquisitely. It's derech eres. It's a sign of freedom. I always tell everyone every year that all year, I'm always sensitive to the amount of work that goes into Pesach. But at the Seder, I feel very strongly, and this is my personal thing, it's based upon a comment of the Mishnah Berurah, that your best dishes should be used for the Seder. I'm not a big fan of using plastic for the Seder. Again, I know a lot of people do it, and there's a lot of fancy plastic that's out there, but to me, the Seder's one meal, no plastic, the nicest dishes, a sign of Cheres, and I'm even willing to stay up, and I do the dishes with my wife in years when we're comfortable with the cleaning lady. The one time I splurged, we've always been able to arrange with our clean lady to come to our house at 1 a.m. and she's helps out doing the dishes. We did not do that last year. I'm sure we probably won't do it this year either. But I'm willing to help out with the dishes because I really think, on the other hand, people have argued back to me and say, but doing dishes, that's not cheras, that's avdas. So I hear that. That's a good counter argument. So I don't know, you got to create some sort of balance. But the table should be set beautifully. In honor of Pesach and therefore, you know, a nice wine that you enjoy and matzahs that taste good. You know, there's other places where to cut expenses, but not on the matzah. The matzah should be you know different brands out there, one that you enjoy again, but to make sure that it is in fact a shmura matzah. Every year, people ask me about eggs and milk. So eggs and milk, the whole discussion why this is. But generally, we do try to purchase the eggs and milk before. It doesn't have to be kosher or Pesach, but as long as it's bought before Pesach. So whatever amount of eggs and milk you need, we generally try to buy it before Pesach. There is kosher Pesach brands to be bought during Pesach. But if you can plan in advance beforehand, that is preferred. Koshering. So a couple of koshering things. So I get asked every year about koshering dishwashers. So I always grew up that you didn't kosher your dishwasher for Pesach, but my Rebbe, Rav Herschel Schachter, is of the opinion that you are allowed to kosher dishwashers for Pesach. And it's really, really easy. You just have to make sure it wasn't used in the last 24 hours and that it's totally clean. Most dishwashers are pretty fairly clean. We have to check is usually the drain area. where sometimes, food does get stuck in that drain area or sometimes in the cutlery racks. But assuming it is all clean, Rashachta says you just run it through one cycle, maybe put some soap in, run it through one cycle, and poof, it's kosher for Pesach. I personally don't kosher because I grew up like, you didn't kosher, you dishwasher for Pesach. For me, it wouldn't be Pesach. But I tell my wife, I'm willing to do the dishes, because I feel bad. So I'm willing to do the dishes. But I tell people, absolutely nothing wrong with koshering a dish. Follow this opinion of Schechter, whether it's stainless steel, whether it's a plastic, a dishwasher. If you want to do it, you're well. Again, you just have to make sure really that it is clean. It has to be completely clean and not used for 24 hours, and you can kosher it. I get asked also about koshering microwaves. So again, different opinions. Baruch Schechter says you can kosher a microwave for Pesach. Again, can't be used 24 hours. Make sure it's completely clean. You can't kosher the glass. The glass, we don't kosher, generally do not kosher glass for Pesach. It's either you got to get a new glass bowl or just not use it, or you can just wrap it in saran wrap or something. And the way you kosher the rest of the microwave, you just put in a styrofoam or some sort of cup, put it in for 10 minutes, let it boil out, and then what you got to do, you got to repeat the process a second time because the whole microwave got kosher with a lot of steam except for the area where the cup was sitting. The area underneath the cup didn't get kosher because the cup was sitting on it. So you just put it, fill in a new cup, and you move it somewhere else, turn it on for 10 minutes, and you have a kosher for Pesach microwave. Again, I don't do it personally because I grew up with microwaves, but I grew up with not koshering microwaves. So for me, it's not Pesach for me. But it's perfectly permissible to do it in this manner. When it comes to koshering ovens, so if you have the easiest ovens to kosher are the self clean ovens. You just set it for like a couple, 2 hours, 2-3 hours, and you don't even have to wait 24 hours. The heat is so intense, it's called Liban Gomor. It completely burns up any chametz that's inside. And if you used it an hour before, then you can kosher it right away with the self-clean mode, and it's kosher. If you don't have a self-clean oven, so it's a little bit more complicated, then you really do have to clean it first. You got to scrub it out. Can't be used in 24 hours. It has to be scrubbed out. You want to use one of those oven cleaners. And once it's all cleaned out, you turn it to a tidy setting, 550 broil, and that's how you kosher the oven. Stovetops. I don't know if they still make the old-fashioned stovetops, but the electric ones with the coils, those are always the easiest ones to kosher. You just turn on the coils till they turn red, and then they're koshered. For fire hazard, some people safety, some people don't like turning all four on at once, which is fine. You can do one at a time, two at a time. And then the areas in between the burners, it's always a good idea to buy new drip pans. Those get really, really dirty. They're very inexpensive to buy new drip pans. And the area in between the burner, you can just cover with foil. Or if it's like stainless steel, like a Gen Air, you can just kosher with boiling hot water over it. That's the electric burners. When it comes to glass top stoves, which a lot of people have nowadays, that's a little bit more complicated because, again, it's the whole question whether we kosher glass in general. And the other problem is that, one option might be like you might just create a lot of heat and to sort of like cover with foil or something. The problem is if you cover your glass top stove and it's going to crack it. So there's different opinions amongst the Poskim and the kosher organizations what to do with the glass top stove. What I tell people every year is you can kosher the burner area. Just turn it on high for like, until it gets a little reddish, and the burner area is koshered. Wipe down the rest of the stove, and just be careful not to put pots on the area that you didn't officially kosher. If something will spill over, and fall on that area you didn't kosher, just throw it out. Don't eat it. That generally works. And you can kosher the burner area and just make sure you put the pots directly on the burner. And if you have the gas stovetops, so the best thing to do is just to take the metal grates and put it in your oven and put it on like 550 for an hour. Sometimes it causes a little discoloration in the grates when you do that. But halakhically, it's the easiest way to kosher it. And the areas underneath, again, if it's stainless steel, just pour the hot water over it. If it's some sort of porcelain thing, you can cover it with, you can always cover it with foil, that works. Countertops. Again, the self-cleaning oven, someone asked me, I said always for 3 hours self-clean. Self-clean cycle for 3 hours. And again, you don't have to wait 24 hours, you know, to not use it. But the self-clean is again, the heat intensity is so strong, you can kosher it even without, even if you used it within 24 hours. Everything else, that most other things that we kosher, we try to wait 24 hours since we used it until we kosher. Now, countertops. But here's something very important. So a lot of people today have, you know, granite, quartz, you know, all these different countertops that one can kosher. But you got to be very careful when you kosher them, both halakhically and in terms of safety. Halakhically, you have to pour, the countertops should be clean. Clean them first, completely wipe them down. But the water, when what you do is you take a pot of water and you boil it on your stove. When it's bubbling, you then pour the water on the countertop. But you can't just like pour it on one area and then sort of like just have the water spread onto the rest of the area. Really, the pouring, the water as it's being poured has to touch every surface. Now, that can take a lot of time. So, you know, in my house, we always have like Formica countertops. And there's different opinions whether you can kosher or not. So we never koshered it. So some of you know, like a year or two ago, we had a mold problem in the kitchen. We, Baruch Hashem, the insurance company came through. We got a new kitchen. We got quartz countertops. So last year was the first time I ever koshered my countertops. So the way I did it was that I had like four pots boiling at once, like four large pots boiling on the stovetop at once. So I could just continuously, kosher with you know, as different pots boiled. And it makes a mess. You know, obviously, if you do this right, it's going to get your kitchen, your floors, and your cabinets. I made sure, again, not to warp the cabinets, to put towels, large bath towels, you know, covering the cabinets, the drawers, so that the water wouldn't go on it. And again, you know, your floor is going to get soaking wet. But if you want to kosher your countertops, you guys, again, halakhically, you just have to make sure you're doing the right way. You really got to make sure that if you use large pots, so large pots will cause more water, you know, because of the surface area around the pot to come out at once, it'll just, you know, lessen the amount of time. If you're going to use a small little pot or a small little urn, it's going to take a very long time to touch every surface. And the same thing goes when you kosher your stainless steel sink. Again, it's got the hot water, it's got to pour and touch every surface of the sink. And every surface of the faucet. So again, it takes a little bit of time. And safety wise, you're using boiling hot water, so just be very careful for yourself and anyone else, you know, coming in and out. Children, gotta be very careful with that boiling hot water. Refrigerators and freezers and cabinets don't have to be koshered. You just clean them out, you know, wipe them down, make sure they're clean. You don't have to line the piece. Some people line them. It's not required to line them. As long as you wiped out, you know, everything, there's no requirement to do that. People always ask me about hot plates. I think hot plates, you just have to cover with foil. You know, you just wipe down and cover with foil. That's fine. Blech. You should get a new blech if you need a blech for Pesach. I believe they're still in business, Mecco Metals. I'll put it in the chat. I think if I can see if I can put it in the chat. There's the nut that you can go online, just find it. There's like a from guy in Oak Park. He bought it from the Schwartz family business. They'll tell them what size you want, blech, and they'll cut it for you. It's not that expensive. 248-547-0088. Give them a little parnassa. You can cut you some new fresh Pesach blech. What else for koshering? There is a way to kosher a Keurig machine. I get that asset every year. If you have the OU guy, just look inside. It tells you what to do. If you don't ask me privately. You're welcome to call me. I'll tell you how to kosher at the Keurig machine. People ask me about koshering urns. Can you kosher an urn? So I always use a separate Pesach urn, but you can kosher an urn. If the urn is only used for hot water, and that's all you ever use it for, so the truth is, the only thing you really need to do to, if you want to use it for Pesach, is what the OU recommends is turn it, fill up with water, you know, and while it's boiling hot, open the spigot, let it just run out for like a 10 seconds, put some pot underneath. And then at the same time, they say to boil a pot of water on the stove and just pour some hot water over the spigot, the outside of the spigot. And you can then kosher the urn in that, you know, in that manner. A few final things, very important, medication. So again, everyone asks me always about medication. So, you know, my Rebbe of Herschel Schachter, the CRC, many others are of the opinion almost any medication is perfectly acceptable for Pesach. Any, you know, standard pill, they have no taste. And unfortunately, I personally have learned this past few weeks the importance of medication, heart medication. You don't play games with this stuff. You take it. And the only question are sometimes, you know, sometimes there's flavored medication. Vitamins should probably be checked, like especially if they're flavored. I have lists that, you know, people can always call, text me about specific, you know, vitamins. But general, you know, you run your mill medications, not only can be taken, but if you're told by a doctor to take it, they should be taken on Pesach. A lot of the fish. Frozen fish, I get asked also every year about Costco, Sam's Club. A lot of the frozen fish, tilapia and salmon is totally fine. We purchased for Pesach. Raw meat that you buy all year long, as long as it's not seasoned, you know, it's just, you know, plain raw meat, it's totally fine for Pesach. Doesn't need special Pesach, you know, chicken, you know, doesn't need special Pesach supervision. And the only other thing also that's important always is, you know, people ask me about like baby food. So a lot of baby food is kidney yolks. Babies can certainly can have formula. Like the green beans and the peas, like Gerber, is kidney yolks. Babies can eat it. You just should make sure that the spoon, the bottles are just maybe washed like maybe in the different sink. Don't wash in the kitchen sink, wash in the bathroom sink, wash in the laundry room sink. This year, Gerber carrots and squash is totally allowed for Pesach, even for adults. So, instead of eating carrots and squash. And people often ask me, where do I feed the baby? There's so little, few options for baby food. So the answer is, I think I heard from a Shachter once also, make your own baby food. You know, smash up your own bananas. Let the kids smash up the banana. Have a good fun activity. You can make your own baby food. Okay, I think I've said enough. There's probably several other things that are probably important to discuss. The good news, you know, also about products in general, I sent out on the WhatsApp chat a day or two ago. Thank God, and nowadays, you know, the OU, the CRC, the Star K, all these organizations, they all put all their guides online. So you can really, a lot of things you can just look up yourself, their various guides. If not, I have all of them with me. Welcome to contact me with the specific questions on products. Someone asked me about using a steamer on the counters. I don't recommend that. And a lot of the kosher organizations don't recommend using a steamer on the counters. It would be a lot less messy. The reason why we don't recommend it, technically it can be done. The problem is it's very hard to do it right because you have to first of all have water on the countertops or and the steamer has to be really, really hot. And when the steamer touches the water, it's got to cause the water to boil. Well, pretty soon it's the steamer is going to cool off when it touches cold water. You got to heat it up again. So practically speaking, it's not going to be hot enough long enough, again, especially the amount of countertops that many of us have, to really do an effective job. It's also not easy to do the pouring, but I think the pouring can be done a lot easier than the steamer and it can be done halachically a lot more effective. Just make sure you have a lot of towels. And the other option is there's no mitzvah to kosher your countertops. If you spent, you know, got your dream quartz granite countertops, you can always just cover it. You know, they sell these In the old days, you know, people used to use tin foil and it made a mess of all greasy and they got, you got, you know, cut and tore. Today, they buy these, all these counter, you know, these liners and they look fancy. So there's nothing wrong to just line your countertops and save yourself the time and the mess that koshering entails. Mixer machine, we generally do not kosher because it has a lot of cracks and crevices in the mixer piece. You can't kosher some, anything you're going to kosher with boiling hot water has to be totally clean. This is very important. And so anything with like even knives, if like it, you know, if you have like the blade where it attaches to the handle, something, there's schmutz that gets caught in between the blade and the handle. You can't remove that schmutz that's there. You can't kosher it. And boiling hot water only removes the taste. It doesn't remove the physical chametz. If you have a blowtorch, you can burn it away, but burning it is unless you know how to use a blowtorch, do not use a blowtorch. They're very, very dangerous. People ask me every year about koshering also barbecue grills. So those are also like, you got to be very careful. You can use a blowtorch if you know what to do. Otherwise, you can kosher a barbecue grill, but it is a little complicated. The grate itself, either you buy a new one. If you buy one and use your old one, what they really recommend is, it's like sort of like you take it out, you fill up the entire grill with charcoal, and then you put some charcoal on top of the grate as well, and you light it for an hour. That will kosher it. You can take the grate out, put it on a cement top, put some charcoal underneath, charcoal on top, light it for an hour. The inside of the grill, you got to first make sure it's clean. You got to clean out, and that's not always so easy. It could be a lot of schmutz there. And then, but if it is cleaned out, then you just turn it. You just cover it. You just cover the put the cover on top. Turn on the highest setting for an hour, and you can kosher it. And I always find koshering grills very complicated, and not so simple. It is doable, but if you can go a couple days without a grill, or you can just buy one of those. You know, if you really want to grill on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov per se, you know, go to, you know, again, we spend so much money anyway on Pesach. Go to Walmart, go to Walmart.com, Amazon. For $30, $40, you can buy, you know, those portable grills you take camping. You know, you get one of those small, either you get a charcoal one or a gas one, and, you know, it doesn't cost that much to have a small grill to use if you want to grill on Pesach. Okay, someone's pointed in that the Grove has a lot of food already coming in, the old one-stop. Nina Savalios has a lot of Pesach food apparently is coming into town. Let me see, is there anything else that I see here? Okay, I think that is it. So again, please, if there's additional questions, we got several weeks, and let's help each other out like we did last year. You know, again, helping out with the shopping, sharing ideas. You know, I think we can make it manageable. Someone asked me, what if the grill never had chametz on it? So yeah, so let's say you only grilled the meat on it. If your grill only was used for pure raw meat, you know, all you grilled ever on your grill was steaks, then you really don't have to kosher it for Pesach. The only thing you have to think about, what about the utensils that I used to take it off? And sometimes some meats are often seasoned that you put on the grill. So you got to really be, you know, and if you ever put buns on the grill, you got to be, or certain seasonings, you put seasonings on the steak. Often a lot of them are not Pesedic. So, you know, whatever, you just got to be careful about that. Okay, wishing everyone in advance a very chag kosher sameach. And again, I'm available anytime in the next few weeks for any questions, for selling of chametz. And, again, maybe if we need to, as more things come up, if I feel like we need to get together again, we'll maybe do another one of these sessions. I did record this, so I will also be posting it as well. Have a very good evening, everyone.